For the responsive poem reading, we will read Psalm 133, found on 850. Behold how good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard, upon the bier of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded his blessings, life forevermore.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. You can find this on page 114 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, the first two, found on page 224 in your Pew Bible's New Testament. Hear and embrace these words. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we had heard, what we have seen with our ears, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin and deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, if we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 31. It follows straight on the heels of the verses we read last Sunday on Easter Sunday. If you'd like to follow along, as I always encourage you to do, you could find it on page 108 in the Pew Bible's New Testament. So hear these words. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen. Amen. Well, as I mentioned in the introduction, and as you have probably figured out, a week has gone by in our lives since Easter. But in this gospel story of John, it is still that day of the resurrection. It is still Easter. And it is an understatement to say that the disciples of Jesus were in a state of crisis. Think about that. All of these people huddled behind locked doors had given up their former lives in order to follow this teacher, this prophet, this miracle worker from Nazareth. Each of them had listened and watched and followed for 3 years, and each one truly believed that they were following the Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ. But now they were not sure at all. Jesus was dead. They were shocked and horrified and numb with grief and anguish. Peter and John had gone to the tomb early that morning, and they'd found that the stone had been rolled away and Jesus' body was gone. Mary Magdalene had come back with a kooky story about encountering the gardener, except that in her grief and terror, she actually believed that she had seen Jesus back from the dead. All of them felt guilty after these last few days because most of them had fled when Jesus had been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 times Peter had denied even knowing Jesus, so Peter felt horrible. Well, and there was also that shocking, though not fully unexpected, news that Judas Iscariot had betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And now they found out that Judas had gone off and hanged himself. So here they sat behind locked doors because to a person, they were convinced that the Jewish authorities would have them arrested for being followers of Jesus. Who would be the next one to be crucified on a Roman cross? Yep, the disciples were in a horrific crisis. Do you remember such a time? A time in your life when you yourself were in such a state of crisis? It is likely that each of us has experienced the crisis of death. You may have lost a close friend, a mother or a father, a sister or a brother, a favorite teacher, perhaps. Maybe you have experienced the crushing death of a son or a daughter. Well, I have been there with people in crisis. Infidelity, divorce, the unexpected loss of a job, the financial downturn, a daughter who is addicted to illicit drugs, a son who has run away, a family caught in turmoil. The list seems endless. And I know that each of you has experienced a crisis not unlike the crisis of these disciples of Jesus. Well, in my experience, there are very few things that one can say to someone in such a situation that will really make a difference. Many people try to say something to fill up the silence of grief and regret and loss. But a person in crisis really needs to feel what they are feeling if they are to face the situation head on and come out the other end with healing. The only really valuable thing that I can share with someone in crisis is this truth. No matter what happens to you, God is right there with you. God will always be with you. And that is exactly what happened in this Easter situation with the disciples in crisis. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." He offered this greeting and his peace, and he responded to each of them in exactly the way that they needed. You know, there are 2 parts to this story of the Lord's appearance to his followers. First, as you heard, Jesus showed up on the day of the resurrection, and then he came again 1 week later. Well, next week we're going to focus on the resurrected body of Jesus and what he was able to do. But for this week, I want you to concentrate on the disciples. The second part of this story often bears the heading Doubting Thomas. But it would be much more accurate to describe it as Absent Thomas. Thomas is really no different from the rest of Jesus' followers, except that Thomas voices his reluctance to believe. And when you understand the original language of the scripture, you discover that a more accurate translation would be unbelief as opposed to doubt. So when you look closely at both parts of this story, you'll see a parallel. In both cases, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And then he shows them his hands and his side. In the first case, only then are the disciples fully convinced that this is Jesus. Their hearts are calmed and they can rejoice. For them, that initial crisis is over. But in the case of Thomas, Jesus offers to give him exactly what he originally demanded. And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." A wonderful description from the New Interpreter's Bible Commentary. Jesus' offer of himself to Thomas evokes the most powerful and complete confession of Jesus in the fourth gospel when he says, "My Lord and my God." The language of this confession affirms the central truth with which the gospel began. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thomas sees God fully revealed in Jesus. The end of this spiritual and emotional crisis for all of the disciples, as well as for Thomas, is not only in the complete realization that Jesus has truly been resurrected and has come back from the dead, but it is also in the fact that Jesus has fulfilled all of the scriptures written about him. He has fulfilled all of the promises that he made during his earthly ministry. God has been fully revealed in Jesus Christ. That initial crisis may have been over for the disciples, but ironically, their lifetime struggles had barely just begun. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I now send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." In the Gospel of John, the resurrection and the effective action of Pentecost happen in rapid succession. Jesus reveals himself as their resurrected Lord, but also as the one who sends them off to complete his mission on earth. Jesus breathes upon his followers and deputizes them to share the good news, armed with the power and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Now, clearly, this deserves more time and attention and prayer than we can spend in one simple sermon on one Sunday. But I want you to know that even in your darkest hour, when you are in crisis, Jesus is right there with you every step of the way. Peace be with you. When you open your heart, Jesus will provide you everything you need in order to believe and to trust in God. And just as Jesus visited and commissioned those original followers, Jesus comes to each of us and commissions each of us into his ministries throughout the world. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Christ is risen. Amen.